just so thankful to be here. You know, just so many things are running through my mind, but before I, you know, I was gone for a while. Before I came back, like, I was so desperate to hear from God. I needed an answer from God, and Doug was giving me all that he could, you know, but bless his heart. Thank you, Doug, for getting me through those times. But I knew when it clicked in my mind, I ran to God. And I'll never forget that day because we had to walk down to that other church. And I'm like, dang, I'm not going to hear my preacher preach. You know, I need to hear Brother Moore. I wanted to hear God. I didn't want to hear what they had to say. But, I mean, it was nice. But anyway, I'm here. That was a long time ago. And I just thinking about what God has done for me. Yesterday, I got the worst call of my life. My mom was crying on the phone, and she had been in a bad car accident. And she was so upset, I didn't even know where she was. So I'm trying to figure out where she was. We couldn't get a hold of my dad, and, you know, I'm driving to her, and I get there, and there were three little angels that had been taking care of her until I got there, you know, and it was beautiful. Just the whole thing was so beautiful. But immediately I thought about Don and John and just, you know, what they went through. And my mom wasn't air cured. She doesn't have any broken bones, but it just, absolutely. And I knew everything was going to be okay because my mom was walking and I could see what God had got Don and John through. And I'm just thankful for those lessons and for the examples that we have here and the people that are here. And, you know, while we were there, so it was a pretty bad car accident. My mom was hit from behind and made her hit the car in front of her. And the boy that was going about 80 down the road that hit my mom kept hovering around me. And I think he wanted me to see if I was mad at him or not, you know. And no matter where I went, I turned around and he would be there looking at me, you know. And I wasn't mad at him. And I didn't talk to him, but I just thought, you know, he knows it's okay. He knows it's calm. He knows he could feel it. He just wanted, it was a very weird experience. No matter where I turned, this boy was there. But I'm just thankful that God got us through it. He's changing. Yes. He's changing things. And of all the places that I could be, I'm here. I'm part of it. Yes. I don't know why in the world God chose me. Yes. You know, who am I? What in the world he would want with me? But he did. And I'm just, I'm just blessed.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Sister Renee, I so understand. I was at the hospital, doctor with my mom today, and it wasn't the best thing, you know, but in it all, I have peace and rest. When I walked in there, I just rest, you know, and because I was thinking early this morning, I was thinking the God that created everything for him, why don't we trust that? Why don't we have total confidence in the God that created the universe, God that created you, God that knows everything, and he knew the end from the beginning? Why can't we trust that? I mean, like, I didn't create anything. No man has created anything. But sometimes we put more trust in men than we do in God. And I'm like, God created the man. So it was just such a rest. Even when the doctors were talking, I was like, I have a rest because I know who created my mother. I know who created everything. He's the best doctor ever. Amen. You know, and I was like, he created this body. Can't nobody tell him how to do it? No one knows. As much knowledge as they have, he created it. Amen. Why don't you go back to the one that created it? And it was just such a rest and a peace. And then the other thing that came to me, I had to bring both phones up because, you know, my memory, you know. But the one that came up to me is, you know, this month has just been like running for Jesus. You know, it's just like here, 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 here. And this scripture came to me, and it's Isaiah 40:31, and it said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint." And I feel so wonderful. So much is going on. I got so much on my plate, but I trust in God and I wait up on Him. And you know, when you wait up on Him, you're not weary. You're not, you know, it's just a rest. You run and you faint not. And then another thing that came to me was this song, and it's been a long time since, no, I'm not singing, but no, we won't do that. But what I just, it's some of the words that came to me, and it says, "Please, Lord, just give me strength as I'm trying to make it through." And then it says, God says, "Just one more day, just one more step. I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, can't hear my words, oh, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, and I see, and yes, I understand." And then right here he said, "I know how much we can bear in time of trouble." He promised he would always be there. "I understand, I understand. I am the Lord, and I see you, and yes, I understand." And then it says, "I am the Lord, I change not. I won't forget, or nor have I forgotten. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me. I got the whole world in my hand. Yes, just one more day, one more step, preparing you for myself. Can't hear my voice? Oh, trust my plan. I'm the Lord, and I see, and I understand."
Amen. Amen. Thankful to trust Him in all things.
Amen.
I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that I haven't had a lot of crazy things in my life, which I'm thankful for. I don't like to get too crazy. I lost my mom and dad, but that was a rest all the way through it. Nothing crazy there. They lived a long time.
Yes.
And God just took them home.
Amen.
And that was beautiful. This thing, thanks.
Yes.
No. Oh, there it is.
Brother Desmond?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 2:26.
You know, when you get a certain age, you might forget. It comes and it goes. But I just wanted to share with the body something that came to me this morning. I'm sitting there at the desk doing bills, and there's a little inspirational book there. And I remember what the last service that we had, where we wanted to just believe God and just step out on that. And I've never held on to something so long like this, but I believe this. And the words, it was little earth service from what Brother Branham had said. And it went something like this. He said, he's not, he doesn't anoint your feelings. He said you have to confess what you believe. Right. He said he doesn't anoint your feelings. Right. It's upon your confession, right, of your faith is, yes, what he does, and that's it. So now I'm just going to confess it. Believe it. I'm not backing up.
No.
Not because I'm only reason I took him, I'm just taking him at his word. Because he said it, and if he's faithful, that's what Abraham did. He considered him faithful who promised. And I'm not playing tonight, saints. I'm so grateful that I know that come hell or high water, no matter how you feel, doesn't matter how it looks, God, he's going to get this done. And I'm like you, Renee. I said, oh, I would never thought that God would pick somebody like me. But look, saints, I didn't do this. He called me. He came and got me. He made sure that he put me in a position. Just look at how God has moved things around. He moved things through your life to make sure you were in the place that you needed to be to hear what he had to say. Then he went and he sent us a prophet, took that man's whole life away from him, And when you sometimes in the long hours of the night, I think about God didn't do all this just to let us go on and let the world go on. Brother Branham really happened. And when he dropped his payload, he left. Then Brother Childers came right along, and God revealed it to him. And when he dropped his payload, he left. But now, where did it go? It's not gone. It's in the bride. Now, if I don't confess, if I don't claim who I am, there is no other reason for me to be here. And when he's done with that, I'm done. I've got my purpose. I'm single of purpose. I don't have, for the first time in my life, I don't have any other agendas on the table. I'm not trying to go anywhere. I don't have no careers, no names I'm trying to make for myself. All I want to do is do what the Lord says do. And I'm here to do, and he's got some part for me to fulfill. Be it big, be it small, but just not complete without me.
Thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Thanks.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Thanks.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am at rest, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Sing again.
Thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Sing it once more.
Thanks.
I
give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. When I think of all his goodness and what he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah, thank you for saving me. And when I think of where he's brought me from to where I am today, I want to stop and take the time to bless his holy name. Thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
When I think of all his goodness,
when I think of all his goodness, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you for saving me. And when I think of where he's brought me from to where I am today, I want to stop and take the time to bless his holy name. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. One more time, amen. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity tonight to come together once again and hear your word. We've heard from the testimonies that we're grateful, Lord, that we have a clear understanding. We're grateful that we can see things that we never saw before. We're grateful that we have a rest and an understanding that only that you could give. Lord, tonight we come as believers, just believing on your word. We come here expecting. The sister said, why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? Why wouldn't you believe a God like that? We come here already knowing you're going to be present, Lord. Yes. Bless the words, bless the hearing, the speaker. Help us to get out of the way and just let you do what you want to do tonight, Lord. Yes. Lord, remember the body in prayer as those that are traveling, some that are sick, some yes. spoken prayer requests, and some not. Yes. Lord, I never want to forget that we've got that your power, your love, your healing is present here.
Yes, it is, Lord.
So, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters that need a touch from you. And we'll keep doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be here tonight.
Good to see you.
I was hearing the singing, and I was like, man, I had to have some reheated messages. I had to listen to live stream several times. And so I've been anxious to get here. So I felt like y'all been testifying for 2 weeks without me. So sorry if I cut your time a little short, but I felt like I'd been listening to y'all for hours. So. You guys know what I mean. It's good to be back here. It's good to be back amongst believers. You know, Brother Branham said it. He said it would be like, you know, you'd get back together and say, how long I missed you, my precious brother and sister. And I feel like that no matter if it's been 3 months since I saw you, 2 weeks since I saw you, 3 days since I saw you. I'm glad to see my precious brothers and sisters, you know. So, you know, we don't have any, we don't keep attendance. So don't pretend like we do. We don't keep track of that. You make it in the house that one time, thank God for it. Praise God you made it. Don't give Satan any room for anything. I made it back here. I'm a believer. What else was I supposed to do? I'm a believer. I got everything. I made it through every bad time. I made it through every bad day. I made it through every bad driver. I made it through every bad occurrence to be here right now. Why you want to take my time now? You had a chance. But now it's my turn. Right? That's what you're testifying about, is that he brought me through. You know, that's what Sister Renee can testify about. That he brought her through. That's what we have to do. That's what we share, even when we're talking about, when we dive into the scriptures, we're talking about where we see ourselves in the scriptures. I talk about where I saw myself, where I was full of darkness, full of condemnation. But now when I open the book, all I see is love, mercy, and grace. It's a little different story. Oh, it used to be when you opened the Bible, you'd be lost. Used to be they beat you with the Bible. Used to be this Bible was a weapon. But now it's just a love story. I'm going through the page after page saying, this is when he's talking about me. This is when he's talking about me. This is when he's talking about me. Oh, see, the church world has it all wrong. They use this thing as a tool to beat. But that's because you don't know what it is. That's because you haven't had it open. Won't you open up the pages and see what he's saying? When he said that I gave. When he said that I'm giving. See, they hold up signs at sports events all the time. God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:4. Yeah, what did he give, though? What did he give, though? And then who did he give it to? See, it's a little bit. See, when you got a real gift, when you're holding a gift, it says from
and two.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, see, just looking at my boxes at Christmas ain't going to make you happy.
No.
You want to run over and see the one that's got your name on there.
Right.
And then when you know somebody's a good gift giver, you want to see it's a front from that person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I opened this up and I saw that the gift that he gave me was eternal life.
Yeah.
Oh, and they can't take it away from me. He can't, no matter how good I am,
right,
no matter how bad I am,
right,
no matter if I pay my light bill on time or pay it late,
right,
he said, I'm giving this to you.
Right.
Oh, unconditionally.
Yes,
why did he give it to me though, Brother Don? Why did he give me this gift? Because he saw,
yeah,
what I would do,
yeah,
with the word when it crossed my path.
Right. Amen.
That's why he gave it to me.
Yeah.
You want to talk about what predestination is, Mom? That's what he did. When he said he saw the end from the beginning, he saw what I would do with the word.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
What is he coming back to claim? That which he's already,
already
redeemed. See, he's only wanting his own. See, you get me stirred up when you start talking like that. Why do I get stirred? Because you're talking about me.
Amen.
You know, Brother Jeremiah preached a message, man after God's own heart.
Yes.
What made David a man after God's own heart? What was it? Was he? Did he keep all the commandments? I don't see one time where David kept everything. The only thing David kept was a love for the word.
Amen.
Was a love for the truth.
Right,
when David was wrong,
right,
he'd say the word is right.
Yes.
Matter of fact, even David said, if I made my bed in hell,
right,
he'd still be with me.
That's right.
David had a revelation,
yes,
that God was with him,
yes,
in him, and was pleased to dwell there and would never leave.
That's right.
See, when you get that kind of understanding, it's hard to be down.
That's right.
It's hard to go into situations and be upset. Because I know too much. I know too much. Matter of fact, my mom shared with y'all, and I'm going to get to my message in here. But my mom shared with y'all that we was at a family reunion, and my grandma got sick, and we had to call the paramedics and all those things. And we get everybody together, and they're about to drive her away. And we get together to just say a little prayer, just to remind them. But I started off the prayer by some stuff that I learned here. I said the prayer by stuff that I learned here. I preached by stuff that I learned here. I didn't make up nothing new. I went out there and I saw people crying. I was crying. I said, it's okay to cry right now. There's a scripture in there that says Jesus wept.
Yes, sir.
Now that's somebody that knew what it was. Somebody that had resurrection power, and he still wept. So there's a flesh side of me, no matter what I'm doing, no matter how good I feel, no matter how, there's still a flesh side of me that's going to go through some things. So no matter how much I clean it up, it's still going to need a shower tomorrow. So there's a scripture that says Jesus wept. I reminded the family that first part. Jesus wept. It's okay to cry. But hold on now. Greater things are right now. You might not have prayed in 3 months. You might not have prayed in 6 years.
Yeah.
But there's a believer on the scene right now, and I'm believing, and we're standing as believers that she's going to be all
right.
You just take control. You said you can step out on worlds. You can take control of the environment. We took control over people that never been to church were saying that's the truth. People that never had prayed was like, well, that's the kind of prayer I want to be on. Why? You want to start? You want to be praying with somebody that speaks with authority. You want to be around somebody that knows what it is. See, because when you've been somewhere, you know how to get there. Oh, I can tell you, I know the way. I know what sights and sounds you're going to see. I can tell you if you go too far. I can tell you how to get to my house. I can tell you what the neighbor's house looks like. I can tell you what the streets look like. If you ain't never been there, you're hoping. Matter of fact, I got to give you some boundaries. When you ain't never been there, I got to tell you, hey, listen, if you get to Dairy Mart, you went too far. If you get here, you went too far. If you go to the turn in the road, you went too far. If you get here, you haven't made it quite yet. You know what, God, you know what happens? I'm going to get here because here's this thing. That happens all the time. People that are not mature need boundaries. You need boundaries. My kids need boundaries. They need to know when to go to bed. They need to know what time it is to eat. They need to know what to wear. They need to know how to speak. They need to know how to show respect. I got to teach them. But it's just boundaries. But my goal is not to keep boundaries forever. My goal is not to walk them through life forever. My goal is not to feed them forever. My goal is not to tell you to go to bed forever. See, a lot of times people come into this church and they got to get boundaries because you don't know where you got to go. You don't know the right questions to ask. You don't know what to do. You don't even know how to serve God. So you come in here and we give you some boundaries. Sit down and be quiet when you're in the sanctuary. Keep your kids quiet. See, these are little boundaries. Dress this way. Do this way. We're just giving you some boundaries. The goal ain't to keep you under boundaries. The goal ain't to keep you under bondage. It's to help you to get free one day so that way you can praise God because you'll know what it is. See, a lot of times people leave too early when the boundaries are still on, when they're still getting told what to do. But guess what? You left immature. You guess not knowing what it was. You guess not giving the real revelation of what God's love is. Because when you get the love, it becomes a love affair.
Amen.
That you don't want anything else.
Yeah.
See, Brother Jeremiah said it. He said, when he started off his service, he said, a lot of times people think serving God is hard. That's because you're in the immature stage.
Yeah.
You're a kid.
Yeah.
My kids think I'm hard sometimes because they're kids.
Yeah.
But if they were adults, they say, oh my God, you got it good.
Yeah.
Wow, you got it so great. Look at where you live. Look at how you sleep. Look at how you eat. Look at how he takes care of you. That's somebody that would be mature.
Yeah.
That's somebody that's an adult.
Right.
But when you're a kid, you go, well, they're telling me how to dress. They're telling me how to cut my hair. They're telling me where to go. They're telling me where to live. They're telling me where to work.
Uh-huh.
That's because you're immature.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to help make it easier for you.
Right.
Now, if you don't listen to me, don't. But I'm trying to make it easy for you.
Right.
You know what? If my kids don't listen to me, they don't make that not my kids.
No.
I'm just trying to make it easy on them.
Amen.
If I tell them to go to school and get good grades and they don't, that don't make them not my kids.
No.
It's just going to be hard to get a job.
Yeah.
If they decide they want to go to college and they messed up all through high school, guess what? You're probably not going to get to the college you want to go to.
Right.
Guess what? You're probably not going to get the job you want. Guess what? You're probably not going to get the income that you were designed. Guess what? That's just attributes of unbelief. You didn't believe me when you're in junior high. You didn't believe me when you're in elementary. So now you got to pay the price for it. But that don't change the fact that you're my son or daughter. That just changes what you got to go through. See, a lot of times people would put going to heaven on what happens with the boundaries. Don't wear a skirt. That don't make you not go to heaven. It's just going to come with some other things. Don't work hard. Don't make you not go to heaven.
Yeah.
It's just going to come with some other things.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the leadership. Don't make you not go to heaven. It's just going to come with some other things.
Amen.
See, because when you really fall in love with this thing, when you realize love did it, then all the works just fall away. I serve God like I'm breathing. I don't got to remind myself lungs. Okay, now, you're trying to speak here. Now, remember, I don't got to remind my lungs that. I just naturally. It knows what it needs. If I need a deep breath, I'll take one. If I don't, I won't need to. When the church doors are open, I'm coming in there. When they're singing, I want to hear it. When you're testifying, I want to identify. Why? Because love. Love lifted me. Love constrains me. Love does this. You want to know why I serve God? Because I love him. What did I wake up to, church? The fact that God always loved me. That's a revelation. That's what ties you in there. That's the only thing that God looks at, is that love for the truth. That's the only thing he's judging about, the love for the truth. Matter of fact, Brother Jeremiah talked about Jacob and Esau, and everybody looks at that story and they go, Jacob and Esau. Man, Jacob was a terrible person. Jacob was a terrible person. Esau probably was a terrible person, but we don't have to write about it. He didn't have a love for the truth. So we didn't keep a lot of scriptures on him. But Jacob was a terrible person. But before they had done good or evil. See, I like that God put that in the Bible. He wanted to remind you what he was going to be looking at. Was he looking at Jacob and saying, okay, Jacob, you're going to lie to your dad. You're going to speak in a different voice. You're going to be a mama's boy. You're going to be soft. You're not going to go outside and work. You're going to be lazy. You're going to try to hide from everything. He didn't care. God said, what are they going to do with the word? Had Esau had a love for the truth, God would have loved Esau. Matter of fact, it's over there where they said if Cain would have presented the sacrifice that Abel presented, he would have been fine.
Amen.
So you go, well, how can somebody be presented with the word and turn it down?
Right.
How can somebody be presented with the truth and not pick it up?
Right.
How can somebody hear the words of eternal life and it fall on deaf ears? Because it has no part in them. That's why we rejoice. That's why we're so happy. Because it has a part in me that when I hear it, I turn quickly to the word. Oh, my. Let me read a quote here. Title of my message is Love Lifted Me, but I'm going to read this quote over here. Let me read this quote. This is Brother Branham. Oh, man. Let me find the title of this. What message was this? I don't want to mess it up. The God Who Is Rich in Mercy. And that's 1965. So we're good. Paragraph 51. He says, look at Paul. When Paul was a great theologian, Paul knew what it was. Paul was very read and learned. Paul had a lot of traditions. But when he come face to face with that word, Jesus, it quickened. He come to life. Oh. Came to life right quick because he was ordained to be that. That he was part of the word. And when the word saw the word, it was his nature. All the clucking of hens in the Orthodox churches didn't have no effect upon him. He had saw the word. It was part of him. He was an eagle. He wasn't a chicken. He was just in the barnyard with them. But he was an eagle to begin with. That's what Brother Branham talks about, that eagle story. That eagle was in the barnyard with the chickens. We know the story. But you were always an eagle.
Amen.
See, that's what the church world has me thinking. I was a chicken, and I got strong enough to fly with the eagles. No. I was never a chicken. I was never a chicken. No matter how much you clean, how much you pluck, how much you dress me up, no matter how much I eat, if you're a chicken, you're never flying with the eagles. Matter of fact, chickens are eagle food. You can't bring me unbelief. I can't eat it. I can't eat unbelief. There's no part of me that can accept it. You know, and it got me even thinking because I thought, man, we put so much emphasis on our flesh and our spirit, and that flesh and spirit ain't going. It's not going. The flesh is not going. We all understand the three rims. The ABC's here. We understand our three rims. We understand that you got to be made up in threes here, and you're going to be made up in threes there. So if we have one part of us that's eternal, is it my spirit? Mm-mm. Is it my flesh? No, it's my soul. My soul is the only thing that cannot reject the word. That's the only, you know, because we talk about the different realms and you say, okay, the flesh can accept and reject. It has the wishy-washy. The spirit can accept and reject. It has wishy-washy. But that soul, it's that one inlet. It's that one inlet. It hears the word, boom, that's it. Everything else has holes in the bucket. Everything else Satan has access to. Everything else Satan can influence. So don't be mad when he influences it. Don't be upset when he messes it up. That's his job. But understand there's a part of me, a deep that calls to the deep, that can never reject the word. Oh, when my flesh gets messed up. Oh, when my spirit gets messed up. All you got to do is pour a little word on it. Pour a little word on it, it'll shake everything. Why? Because you're not cleaning me from the outside in. You're cleaning me from the inside out. See, the church world has it all messed up. I understand that love lifted me up. It was God's mercy and grace. God who is rich in mercy. Oh, Brother Branham even said over there in that same book or in that same message, he said, God is rich in mercy. Had he been rich in money, had he been rich in all these other things, it wouldn't have done it. But he's rich in mercy. You know, matter of fact, even Brother Bean said a term the other day. I want to find that term that he said, because I thought that was pretty neat. He said, God's love is inexhaustible.
Amen.
Inexhaustible.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Unable to be used up. Wow. That's what that means.
Right.
It's supplied in abundance.
Wow.
Limitless.
Right.
God's love is inexhaustible.
Right.
Who should lay charge to anything? To God's elect.
Amen.
Who shall call anything that God called clean unclean?
Yeah.
If God called it holy, then it's holy.
Yeah.
And you go, Brother Jay, where are you getting this from? Why can you talk like you're perfect? Why can you talk like you only do all that which pleased the Father?
Yeah.
Well, since you asked, what happened with Jesus? Because we all, let's make sure I'm only preaching to Christians in here. Because we believe Jesus was the Christ. Right? God poured everything into Christ. And Christ said, I do all that please the Father. That's what Christ said. But it didn't stop there. All that Christ was, he poured into me. He poured it into you. So I can say, just like Christ said, I do all that please the Father. All song that pleased the Father. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, Brother Jay, but you fell here. Brother Jay, you fell there. Don't worry, you Pharisees. Don't worry, you Sadducees. Over in Micah chapter 7, verse 8 says, rejoice not over me, oh, my enemy, when I fall. I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light upon me. Oh, oh, even in darkness, he'll make it a light around me. See why? That's why we can go places a little different. That's why we can pray a little different. That's why we can rejoice a little different. Because we know more. Oh, oh, Brother Jay, you're boasting. Well, I do know more. I know more. I know where my loved ones are going. I know where I'm going. I know that I can't lose it. I know I had nothing to do to get it. God so loved the world. Who was his world? Who was his world? Me. He loved me before the foundation. Oh, before he framed it. Before he put it together. He said, I love you. See? It's hard to be depressed now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling great now. Oh, I'm feeling great now. Let's read a scripture. I want to make sure I read some scriptures in here. I'm not just making this up. Let's turn over to John 17. Now, Pastor Moore read this scripture, I mean, this chapter. And I had never read the whole chapter until he preached on it several weeks ago. And I love it. This is the prayer of intercession. This is Jesus. He's praying to God right before things are about to hit the fan for him. It's about to get crazy. Matter of fact, it even starts off. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. The end time. He was rapping. His time was coming short. It was end time for Jesus. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Now, I'm going to skip down a little bit. This is the part that gets me a little bit excited. He said, I have given them. Let's hold on to that word, them. Thy word. And the world hath hated them. Them again. Because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. See, I ain't got to hold up picket signs. I'm not fighting. I'm not trying to clean it up. It's not my house. This is not my world. They can have it. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, if it was mine, I'd fight for it. I'd send angels down. Matter of fact, he didn't even say him. He'd send angels down to do it. See, we always want to be fighting and fighting and fighting. We ain't got to. If fight needs to be done, he'd send an angel to do it for me. I'm his bride. He said, even as I am not of the world, I pray not, see, I love this, that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. How is he going to sanctify them? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, my, my. Let's keep reading. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, for them, I sanctify myself. Ooh, no greater love. That they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Amen.
No works in there. The word again, the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Uh-oh. Not singular again. We get some gifts in here. Neither I pray these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Amen.
Somebody's got to speak it, Sister Clarice.
Amen.
Somebody's got to say it.
Right.
It's got to be another group to say it.
Amen.
He didn't say it was just going to be him saying it. He didn't say sanctify them just for that. He said not them alone, but those that believe on thy word that they say.
Yes. Mm.
Yes. That they all may be in one, all now. That they all may be, but who's that all? Who's that all? That's a select group. That's not everybody.
Amen.
That's not the whole world. That's the believers. It clearly says it in there. Me, them, and those that believe them, the believers, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me.
Yeah.
And I in thee, yeah. That they also may be one in us.
Yeah.
Still one.
Yeah.
That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them.
Yeah.
Gave them. Gave it to them. gave it to them as a gift.
Amen.
Oh, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. There's scripture there. I told you I was perfect. I told you I was all right. I told you I was okay. But now that it's in the Bible, you're going to have to read it now. The word says it. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He said, God's going to love us like he loved Christ. You see why I've been over here chewing on this chapter. So love the world. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
O righteous Father. See, he's a righteous judge.
Yes.
O righteous Father, the world hath not known me, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love where thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Amen.
Praise God for the reading
Amen.
Of the word.
Right.
Oh, I love that. It says I'm perfect.
Yes,
Jesus said it. Not just a disciple, not just some other prophet, but Jesus said, I'm perfect.
Right.
Oh, now you want me to take the back seat? I can't. I know too much. I see too much. I see myself all in this Bible. You know, even sometimes it says the Bible that Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's where it comes from. It's Christ in me. You can't even see Christ unless you see Christ in me. You can't touch God unless you touch God in me. It takes the Word of God to reveal God in a man. But once you see God in a man, it can't just stop there, or you don't have the whole picture. You don't know what's going on. If it stays up here in this pulpit and never gets to the congregation, then that's not how this was supposed to work.
Amen.
If it stayed in heaven and never came down to earth, that's not how this was supposed to work. It's supposed to be Christ in you. In you. You got to understand that you're perfect. You got to understand that you got this revelation. You got to understand that this is easier than you were making it. You have a revelation of the word for the hour. That's a new birth.
Amen.
That new birth ties you in to the body.
Amen.
And now you're made perfect.
Amen.
Oh, they say, well, you need to put God first. I can't help but put him first. I put him first all the time.
Yeah.
It's self-preservation when I put him first. You know I put myself first all the time? I make sure I'm breathing before you're breathing. I make sure I'm eating before I care if you're eating. I make sure I'm taken care of before you're taken care of. That's self-preservation. I put me first, and guess who else is in here? God. He's putting himself first with every step. The footsteps of the righteous. What are they? Ordered. Ordered. Oh, my. See, church world will have you thinking you got some part to play in this. Church world will have you thinking that you could have messed it up. You have free moral agency. See, this is what I love about it. When you get a revelation, I can go anywhere. I can pick up any term you want. I got free moral agency. I got a token. I got the revelation. I got a new birth. I got eternal life. Which one you want me? They all work here. You got free moral agency. But God saw the movie already. He saw what you were going to decide.
Amen.
He saw what you would choose. He knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
He declared it.
Yes, he did.
See, God only cares about his word.
Come on.
He only comes after his word. Matter of fact, even in the garden, he didn't go looking for Eve or the serpent. He said, Adam, where you at? That was the carrier of the word for the hour. That's what God was concerned about. Where you at, Adam?
Come on.
Oh, see, this church world will have you thinking God cares about a lot of stuff that he don't care about.
That's right.
God don't care about none of that.
No.
I mean, we quote David all the time. David had some terrible things. But even when he was praising God, he stripped naked.
Sure.
Just saying. God didn't care. David's wife was like, oh, what are you doing? Praising God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you sitting up there? You know how good God has been to us? He gave us this. He gave you the place to sit. He gave you the house you're sitting in. He gave you the air you breathe. Gave you the sun you're enjoying. You might want to strip down and get down here with me.
Come on.
David knew what it was. David knew all that other stuff wasn't important. He understood. Matter of fact, even when David was going through tough times, he still would be able, it's time to go praise the Lord.
Yes.
He had a moment where he lost his kid. He was prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. That baby died.
Yes.
Put it down. What did he have to do? What did David do? The man that was after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Did he stay home and sulk a little bit?
No.
Did he wait around and just hope that somebody came around? No. Time to go praise God.
Yeah.
Time to go praise God.
Yeah.
What did Job do?
Right.
Job's wife, hey, listen, might as well just curse God and die.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. He's taking everything. Taken. I didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
I didn't lose anything. Job saw that resurrection and saw, oh my goodness, you're speaking like a foolish woman.
That's right.
See, sometimes you gotta, sometimes that's why it's really important to get to church. Because you're gonna get encouraged. But every now and again, you need to encourage yourself. You got word upon word upon word upon word upon word. I mean, this thing is deep. You get home, you can just recite some of these things, and it should stir you up as a believer. You should be able to just go through. That's why we always say it's important to know your Bible. That way you can look in there and see those promises. When you realize that God so loved that he took, that he gave, He gave us the gift of eternal life. God so loved me that he gave me the gift of eternal life. And you want me to be sad about that? You know what? God knew what color my eyes would be. So this is a God that knew what color my eyes would be. You know, to get your eye color, it takes a couple of things to go in place with that.
Oh yeah.
If I didn't have the parents I had, I'd have blue eyes.
Yeah.
If I didn't have the parents I'd have different hair color.
Right.
So he knew who my parents would be.
Amen.
He knew who my grandparents would be.
Amen.
Why wouldn't I want to trust a God like that?
The
God that can see it all, that knows it all, has the whole world in his hands.
Amen.
And we want to doubt. We want to be afraid. No, we approach the throne boldly. We know who we are in this hour. It's no more guessing. I'm no longer looking through badger skin. I'm no longer looking through a glass darkly. I clearly see God face to face.
Amen.
Oh, see? When you see God like that, you should have faith. It shouldn't even be hard. For a believer, it's really not hard. It's not hard. You make it hard. You can make it hard on yourself, but serving God is a blessing. Because you guys, let's go over a little bit some of these blessings here, because God loves us. So he's opened up the book to us. We see where our loved ones are going. We see where we are going. God's opened this whole book because, you know, there's times where you'll go, oh, I messed up. I messed up here. I messed up there. Yeah, but God knew that. He knew that. He knows my thoughts. What do they say over in Psalms? See, that's why it's important to know your Bible. What did he say over in Psalms, Brother Isaiah? He said he knows your thoughts immediately, or right when they happen, or after you say it, afar off. He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb.
Amen.
And you think you surprised God with your habits, with your isms and schisms, with your procrastination? With your inability to pay bills on time, I'm just throwing some top tens out there for you. With your love for chocolate ice cream, with your laziness, or whatever it is that you want to put on there, maybe you're just perfect. Maybe you show up 30 minutes early. Maybe you got 815 credit score. I don't know. Anywhere in between, he knew your thoughts afar off. He knows you. He knew how to make you. He knew what it would take to get you. He knew my stature. He knew my frame. He knew my mindset. He knew how I think. He knew what I like. Matter of fact, what did Jesus even say? He said, I'm going to go prepare a place just to your liking. Woo! Oh, he knows what I want. He knows what I like. That's what he said he'd do. Why is he doing this? Just because he wants to flirt? No. Just because he thinks I'm cute? No. He loves me. Loves me.
Amen.
This is a love affair. Matter of fact, there's something on me that I can't fall. Ooh, see? See, I like to throw that in there. I like to throw that in there right when they think I'm giving too much grace. Right when they think I'm just out here too much. What'd he say? He said that first Eve was destined to fall.
Right.
See, because that's a type. Eve was a type of a bride. A type of a bride. Adam wanted a mate. That was a type. It's just a type. My name's not Eve. My name is Mrs. Jesus Christ. It was just a type of a perfect ceremony, a perfect union. That Eve was made to fall. Ordained. Her steps were ordered to fall. Had to fall. But, see, that's why you need to be going to a church that preaches about the thems in the Bible. What are them that he's talking about? Who's the them that he said he gave it to? Who's them? Who's them? There needs to be somebody preaching to you about the thems. Because who is the thems? You're looking at them. Right here. This is them that he gave it to. Thems, this is them that he loves. This is the group that he said he would give his life for. Because that group is destined not to fall. My steps are ordered where I can't fall. And God even said over there in the Bible, he said, oh, the times would be so crazy. And this is a neurotic age. The further you get away from God, the crazier people's minds get. Oh my goodness, you need Klonopin just to go to work. You need depression medicine. You need anxiety. This world is crazy. People are just losing their mind. That's Satan's eating. They're losing their mind. Total darkness. They don't know where they need to go. They don't need to know it coming. They don't even know who they are. Everybody's fighting identity crisis no matter what. Should I work? Should I not work? Am I a man? Am I a woman? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I live? Should I not live? They're fighting demons. Just demons. It's just demons. Just spirits in people's minds that are holding them back. You come in here and get a clear understanding on everything. I get a clear understanding on everything. I get marching orders with every service. Oh, if I had a clustered mind, I come in here and let God clean it up. I come in here with the expectation to say, Lord, I came in here confused and distracted, but you're going to straighten this out. Straighten me up. I'm going to pour this junk out. I'm coming here, fill up my cup. Amen. Oh, see, there's a story, and I think Brother Branham was talking about it. It was this big soup line, and all these people, somebody had a little cup, walking up. Somebody behind them with this big bucket, just pulling it along. They're like, man, they're not gonna fill up that bucket. Now, nowhere on the poster did it say the limit. It said, just bring your container. People brought a little pot. Some people brought a cup. They thought they'd just get enough food for that day. This person was just bringing a bucket. Guy with the little pot. There you go. Thank you. Hey, Stenton, look back a little bit. Let me see what they do with this guy. He's going to look like an idiot. He's going to look like an idiot when they just put one scoop in there. Guy gets up there with his bucket. Whole time he's sitting there. His cup's half empty now. This guy's still getting filled up. Gets it full. Rolls it on out of there. Yeah. Get what you expect. Yeah. You come in here, and if you just want a little bit of God, go and get you some. Yeah. Go and get you a cup. But I got big problems. I got big issues. I got a big family I want to pray for. I got some big loved ones I want to take with me. I got some big battles I want to fight. So I'm coming in with my bucket, and I'm saying, Lord, fill it up. I come in here with that expectation every time. If my faith was waning, strengthen me. If I need a healing, give it to me. If I need a better understanding, bring it. If I need the scripture broken down, break it down. If I just need encouragement, go on and give me some of it. Why? Because I'm your bride. You love me. You love me. Oh, I turn quickly to the word and I can't turn it down. Woo. There's something on the inside of me. On the inside of me. God so loved me that he's bringing it out. See, there's got to be a manifestation. Has to be a manifestation. Sister Clarice said it right. God doesn't, what did it say? She said, God doesn't bless your feelings or ordain your feelings. Yeah, he don't ordain your feelings. No, he doesn't anoint that. You got to speak it. Even over in the book of Revelations, which is our book, even when you go down there through the chapter, it says, now you have ate it, but you need to speak the words of this prophesy again. You speak again. I've already said it. I don't need to come back and say it no more. You say it now. Amen. Jesus did his part. He gave us what we needed. Now it's time for us to speak. Amen. Now it's time. But you can only speak if you understand. Amen. If you don't understand, you'll sit there. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't even know what to ask for. Maybe you're just in the beginning phase. That's all right. Stick around long enough. We'll take those bumpers off the bowling alley in a little bit. You better have a real good time. You know, right now I feel like... You know, because Brother Childers, he'd get you, right? He'd get you. Us preachers be up here preaching. He'd get you. I can't stay here. I got to move there. I get reading too much. I mean, he was just getting you. We were all here. Come on now. He wasn't no spring chicken. He wasn't playing no games. You get up here and play around for 1 second. Matter of fact, he said one time, he said, if you get here and you're about to repeat yourself, go and sit down. And I've held on to that. Sometimes you'll see me end something quick. I'll be like, oh, I'm about to say something again. Let me go ahead and end it. Just go and end it. I've been whipped before. But that's the bumpers was on. But Brother Tears was here now. No bumpers on me. No strings on me. He'd be like, preach it, Brother Jay. That's nothing but the truth. That's somebody that's got a revelation. And what did he say himself? He said, I love to hear a man that knows what he's talking about. Oh, I know now. I see it now. I know. I've been awakened. It's been quickened in me. I can see my name in every verse. Oh, my. Blessed are those that can read and understand the words of this prophecy. Why? Because the time is at hand. For who? Us. Us. No, the thems. This us. Right here. We're alive. This is the manifestation of what they were talking about. This is who he was giving his word to. He said there'll come a time when they won't even, they'll itch ears. They won't want it. But there'll be a group that will turn quickly to every single word. They said, will you find favor? Yes, you will. There's going to be a group. See, there's another scripture. There's going to be a group that's alive and remain that shall not hinder those that are asleep. That's going to be speaking the words of this prophecy. See, I know too much. You know too much. We know too much. That's right. That's the elder talking. We know too much. We do. You know too much to be turned and swayed by every wind and doctrine. Every itchy ear. Every preacher throwing you condemnation. I can't be condemned. What are you talking about? Where are you going to put the sin? What sin? Sin is unbelief. You need to understand what the definition is. Because sometimes you might be applying things that are not applicable. Put NA on there because you don't know what you're talking about. Sin is unbelief, and I can't unbelieve. Oh, Brother Jay, but you do this. Oh, Brother Jay, you do that. Okay, let me pay for it.
That's right.
That's my bill. If I didn't pay the light bill and it gets turned off, your lights are still on. Why are you fussing? If I didn't put gas in my car and I can't go to work, what are you fussing for? Right. It don't hurt you.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm calling you to pick me up all the time, maybe you need to rebuke me. But until I get you involved, won't you just stay out of it?
Amen.
Let God handle what he needs to handle. Yeah. If he thinks I'm okay like I am, let him keep me like I am. Because guess what? He's the creator. He's the one that molded this clay like this. He's the one that put me like this. He's the author of this. How can the clay look up to the potter and say, why did I make me thus? Come on now. I'm talking to believers. He made you just like he wanted you. Oh, my. You keep wanting to change this, change that, change this, change that. Be happy that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Another scripture. Amen. Another scripture in there. See, I'm loaded. I'm loaded. I got so much. I'm loaded. I'm just dropping blessings. Dropping blessings. Everywhere I go, I can't help but to bless people. I can't help but to give mercy and grace. It's sufficient. That's what God said about his grace. He said, my grace is sufficient.
That's right.
Oh. They even tried to put a number on it. I forget even how that multiplication went. But it's like, forgive them seven times seven or something. In a day. In a day. In a day. Each day. He did that just so that you'd never run out. Because as soon as you wake up, you got to start it over again. Start the ticker again. A day. See, God is love. Matter of fact, he said, by this all men shall know. See, I just seem through too much. We know too much. Love did this. Love lifted me. Yes, see, because my soul was sinking. See, this is a song for you. My soul was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. See, get me back to that peaceful shore. Get me back where some rest is. Said, but love lifted me. Oh, my. See, we're a blessed group. We know too much. We're a group after God's own heart. Oh, God loves this group. He loves the sound. Matter of fact, he wanted quiet so he can get a little closer. He was up in heaven, need to get a little closer. Now, let me get down a little closer to where they're at. Let me get there so I can be amongst them. I want to be. Matter of fact, they even said that over when we get over there, they're going to be like, how did y'all make it? My goodness. It was tough over there. Tough. Oh. I cleared this thing with ease. I had space. I was ordained to make it. I saw what it was. See, to them, it was hard because they didn't know. It was hard because they had to guess. They were hoping. When they prayed with desperation, Sister Renee. They had a desperation about them saying, please, God, if it be thy will. Didn't have the answers. See? But when the book is open... When you know.
Amen.
See, this open book test now, saints.
Amen.
I love those. And this is even better. I'm going to throw this one in there. A little curveball in there. You ain't got to show your work. You ain't got to show your work. It's multiple choice. You ain't got to show your work. And I'm giving you all the answers. A, B, C's here. Always believe Christ. Just do that all the way down. You'll be all right. You'll be taken care of. We got a prescription for everything. Just get to the house. Get to the house. Why? He's going to give you the answer. Well, but I don't even know. I don't know what I need. I don't know. Yeah, you do. Come on. Just get in here. Get in here. Get in here. God's going to take care of you. He'll answer. Just come expecting God to fix it.
That's right.
That's all I want you to do. Come in here with just the faith of a mustard seed.
Yes,
come in here and say, Lord, I don't even know what I need,
but
I need to be fixed. I want that love to be rekindled. I want that love affair to be re-sparked. I want to get a little closer to the fire. Put me back closer to that peaceful shore. Won't you waken? Won't you stir up my mind by way of pure remembrance? Yeah. Start talking like that. Then mom problems fade away. Then health issues fade away. Everything that's not eternal is just temporal. Everything that's not eternal is temporal. Don't make it anything more than that. I don't have eternal problems.
No.
I don't have eternal shortcomings. I don't have eternal shortcomings.
No.
I'm eternal.
Yes, sir.
Eternally part of God.
Right.
That's the part of me that he's looking at.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when they say, how did you make it? I say, I couldn't do anything but.
Right.
I was ordained.
Amen.
I was built for this.
Yeah.
I was built to withstand the demons. I was built to withstand the devils. When the whole world was in darkness, it was light in Goshen. I didn't walk in confusion. The whole world doesn't know who they are, and I can't help but tell you who I am. The whole world doesn't see themselves in God, and I see myself with every verse. The whole world doesn't want anything to do with Christ, and I can't put him in things more and fast enough. I want to pray over my food. I want to get to church. I want to sing some songs. I want to fellowship. I want a Bible study. I want to do all in all. Why? Because I know where I'm going. When I go home, it's going to be all in all, so I want to just practice it right now. The whole world don't want anything to do with God. They're removing him from everything they can, from schools, from this, from that. They don't want no God. They don't have a love for the truth. But I have a love for the truth. And that's what keeps me coming back. That's what keeps me coming in here. That's what keeps us all coming in here. You serve the same God I serve. You get the same blessings I get. You got the same word I got. See, Satan, I have you thinking, well, if I knew all the scriptures Brother James knew... Lies.
Amen.
Get one.
Amen.
Get one.
Yeah. One.
That's all you need is one.
Need.
Matter of fact, that's all it took for your soul.
Amen.
It was just that one revelation annihilated that old soul.
Amen.
Just keep whipping Satan with that one.
Yes.
That's what, you know what David did? You keep talking about David. David just had a slingshot.
That's all.
Whooped the lion, whooped the bear. When it came to Goliath, they was like, here, David, here's some armor. And he was like, yeah. I ain't never used that. I just use this one. And this just seems to work. There it is. Every problem. Just use this one. You know what? For the longest time, I was using Romans 8.
Come on.
All things. All things work together for those that are called for his purpose. I was putting myself in there saying, no, I'm called for his purpose. Oh, I'm called for his purpose. I know what God's will is. He wants me. See? And then I got some more scriptures. And then I just started adding holsters. Oh, I was using them too. Satan come from the back, I got something that goes that way. He goes over here, I got something that goes over that way. I stay right here and I don't even have to look to the left or the right. I don't even get off the path anymore. I don't even let it bother me anymore. Matter of fact, I'm just walking through now. I'm like Jesus. I'm going through so many spirits now. When somebody touches me, I go, oh, that was virtue. They're like, Jesus, what's... It was a lot of people that touch you. No, no, I don't even pay attention to them. It's just virtue. That's all I'm going through. I go to work, oh, I may have to deal with a bunch of demons, but every now and again, some virtue. But touch me and I go, whoa. Oh, I may be in a big group of people and be like, oh, there's virtue there. That's how we are. We go out there in a foolish version, just somebody to spark your interest. You might be in a group of 100 people. Don't pay attention to nobody. One person come over and be like, hey, did you want some water? Oh, yeah, virtue. Amen. There you go. Thank you. Love lifted me. God bless you.
How could you not get help
with
a message like that? The thing that we love about it is that it's God's love in you.
Amen.
And he loves you and you love him. That's why we do what we do.
Amen.
We're not sitting here with a bunch of laws and a bunch of rules and a bunch of thou shalt nots and... We're here because we want to be.
Amen.
And the day that you don't want to be, don't.
Right. Amen.
I mean, I've said it from day one. I said, I'm not trying to keep you here. The thing that keeps me here is love.
Amen.
Love for the word. And when we say this group is the bride at the end time.
Amen.
She is going to be such a small group.
Amen.
The top of the pyramid gets down to one person eventually.
Yeah.
And we're in the pyramid. We're in the capstone.
Right.
The capstone is made of the same thing that the pyramid is made of.
Right. Yeah.
The pyramid was made of people. And the capstone are made of people.
Yes.
And the capstone comes to a point somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
That last love will hit that last person.
That's right. That's it.
And that's it.
Amen.
Could already be here. We're thinking that, you know, everybody thinks they got to go out and get that last loved one. You know, the last loved one is going to come like the first one did.
Yep. Amen.
That's right.
God went after him.
Amen.
And said, Adam, where are you?
Yeah.
And the last one, God's going to go after him.
Amen.
And it won't be because we're all doing big revivals and things. You know, in the hour that we're living in now, you don't hear so much about big revivals anymore. And big meetings and big gatherings. And, oh, they've got big numbers in churches and those cathedrals. And I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about real God-fearing, God-loving, Holy Ghost-filled revivals. They don't want that anymore. And the love for God is growing less and less around the world. But the bride, that little group that Jay was talking about, that little group, she's going to love the word, because the word, when the word comes forth, it's the only thing that gives me hope.
Amen.
I mean, if you want to know how we make it through this life, this is it. This is the only thing that's solid, the only thing that's real, the only thing that you can lean on. You can't trust government. You can't trust churches. You can't trust people. You can't trust, name it. But you can trust the word.
Amen.
And the bride is receiving the word now like never before.
Amen.
She's hearing it word upon word upon word. The prophet brought it. He restored it. God himself came down and moved in amongst the body of believers.
Amen.
And now he's listening to us talking about himself.
Amen.
And he's loving it.
He's loving it.
And every time I go home, the God that's in me says, when's the next time we get together?
Right.
I want to hear that again.
Yeah.
I want to hear about me again.
Because
see, when you hear the word coming forth, the God that's in you loves it.
Amen.
Yes.
He's very conceited.
Yeah.
He's very conceited. He loves to hear himself talk about himself.
Yeah.
So when you get home, what brings you back isn't some law that says you got to be here on Wednesday night. It's a love for the truth. What keeps you here isn't because I'm threatening you. If you don't come to church, you're going to hell. It's a love for the truth. I remember when I was in New Zealand, and that priest who was smarter than I could ever be, he was getting his doctorate in French in New Zealand. I'm like, oh my goodness, I couldn't get that in English in America. He was a smart man. But I was out there preaching, and he come up to me after one service. He said, brother, because I was getting ready to take a walk, because I was like, there's a lot of people there, and I just wanted to go to be alone for a little bit. So I was going to go walk on this path they had out there in the church lot. And I started to walk, and a brother came up, and he said, brother, do you mind if I walk with you? I said, no, come on, walk with me. And he started asking me questions, and I felt like Jesus and Nicodemus, because he was walking with me and asking me questions. And here this man is, 40 times smarter than me, and walking and asking me questions. He said, brother, if you don't have law, how do you keep your people? Right. Like it's the law that's going to make you stay. I said, oh, brother, we don't need law at our church. We got love. Right. Love's what keeps us together. Love's what keeps us coming. Love's what makes us do what we do. It's a love for the word. And I don't have to badger them. I don't have to follow them home. I don't have to make them do nothing. I don't have to do it. I save myself a lot of headache because I look at it like this. If you love God, you'll keep his commandments. Amen. Somebody else said that. I think I saw that in red letters somewhere. But if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. When people look at serving God and think, oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life, I think, my goodness, it didn't happen to you. Because you don't, something's wrong. That's why I say about these sisters that say, oh, headship is so hard. It's not, headship isn't hard. That's love. You brothers who think, oh, the pastor, he's just too straight and he always asks, that's love. And I look at Brother Branham and say, oh, Brother Branham calls me. No, that's love. God so loved the world that he gave. And we love what God's given us. Amen. And we turn around and give back to him because he gives it to us. Yeah. And you can't, as the Bible, as it says, you can't be God's giving. You give to him, and he gives back to you. Yeah. Right. You give him a little bit, he'll give you more. Right. If you want to testify a little bit. Like Jay said, on that one scripture you understand. Talk about that. And God will give you something else. Yes, sir. And then you'll get up and you talk about two things. And God will give you four things. Yeah. And you talk about the four things, God will give you eight. You can't beat him. You'll get more revelation than you even know what to do with. We get so stirred up about the revelation, we don't know whether to sing, dance, run, aisles, or preach prayer. What? I don't know what to do sometimes. But it's because we love God. Love is what gets us up. Love is what keeps us. Love is what brings us back. And love is what's going to take us out of here. And you're not going to hold a stick to me and make me do anything. I serve God because I want to serve God. If I didn't want to serve God, I wouldn't. Go do something. Like my mother always said, don't go to hell in a Volkswagen. Yeah. Get you a Cadillac. Right. If you're going to go to hell busted wide open, go live it up and do whatever you would really love to do. Right. I love God and I want to serve God and I want to be here. Right. That's why I'm here. If you don't want to be here, go.
Right.
Don't go through life, die, and then go to hell. You better get some enjoyment out of something. I mean, enjoy. I know what this is, the worst I'm going to have, and I'm enjoying this.
Right.
You can't beat this. And then when we leave here, we go to heaven, a glorified body. You ain't seen me shout yet. You think I get excited now? You ain't seen me excited yet. You think I run the aisles now? You ain't seen me run the aisles yet. I told you I'm going to dance all over your marriage supper table. Get me out of this house. But it's love that keeps us. It's love that keeps us. It's love that keeps us. Nothing else. No strings. No threats. If you walk out this door, I'm not going to say you're going to hell. I don't have nothing to say about it. That's between you and God. You say, well, I can't believe this. And that's okay. That's fine, too. You say, well, you're an easy loser. I am. I'm the easiest loser you'll ever run across in your life. I'll pat you on the back and make you feel good about taking whatever you want and go. I'll help you pack it out. Because I'm not here to keep you. If love doesn't have you here, there is nothing that I have for you. You say, well, I want a pastor that's going to pat me on the back, come and visit me, and on and on and on. You're in the wrong place. That's like Brother Lynn told us one time. He said, yeah, Brother Moore's right. Brother Lamb went home and stayed home for like 2 years. He come back and said, yeah, Brother Moore's right. He ain't gonna come home and he ain't gonna come and get you. No, this is where I'm supposed to be. And if you're supposed to be here, you'll be here. If you're not, you won't. I mean, that's where the bride is. That's where we're at. Do you think Peter and him were concerned about the upper room only having 120? Do you know if it was 125, that'd have been too many? The pillar of fire broke up into 120 pieces. If there was five more extra, it would have been in trouble. So see, the ones that are supposed to be in the upper room are going to be in the upper room. The ones that are supposed to be here will be here. The ones that aren't supposed to be here, they won't. And I can't get too upset about it, because you know what? I can't expect you to understand if God doesn't quicken it to you. I can't even feel bad about it. You say, well, I don't believe a word you say. Well, okay. That's fine. But I know love lifted me. Come on, musician, we're going to sing that as we close. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply, stained within, sinking to rise no more. My. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, and safe am I. Love lifted me, page 35. Good to see Brother Mike back there, and our sis come back tonight. It's good to see y'all here. Amen. Now, I did talk to Brother Covey, the other Brother Covey. He told me he's good. I couldn't make it tonight, but he'll be here next Wednesday, and he's got another surprise for us. So. Oh, don't forget the announcements.
July 2nd, Brother Lockett's birthday party.
Party
there. They got the invitations in the back with the address on there. July 10th, Brother Jeremiah is going to be at Little Bethlehem. He's going to be preaching there. And then July 22nd, we're going to be at Caleb and Andrea's having a good old time there at 6:30. And from what I hear, Brother Jeremiah is getting in the bounce house. So we'll look forward to that. We're going to have a good old time. He said it. So I know he's listening in.
He's going to tear that thing down. Oh, I'll have my camera out. Amen. And don't forget. And today's my anniversary. Oh. Our anniversary. Woo. I told Clarice, I said, 37 years.
Wow.
Ooh. Somebody around here's getting old. I always tell her that somebody's getting old around here. But I said, happy anniversary. It's been a busy day. We were trying to get ready for church, and I think she went to sleep outside, and I was sleeping on the couch. Happy anniversary. I'll take her out to eat somewhere along the line. But it's good. She's been a good wife. Brother Childers said she'd make me a good wife, and she has. And I appreciate and love her for all that she's done. And I couldn't be who I am if she wasn't who she is. So if you look at me, you look at her. And if you look at her, you look at me. So that's the way it works. You say, well, how in the world do you stay married for 37 years? Just realize what's important. The Word of God is the most important thing. I don't care what the argument is, the disagreement. You say, y'all had disagreements? Everybody does. But if you stay with the Word and you put it first before you or your spouse, no matter what the argument or disagreement is, it's nothing big enough to separate you. You can get through that.
Amen.
Because the last word is God's word.
Right.
Heaven and earth to pass away. So whatever word you got, it ain't going to last. So just stay with the Word of God. Love lifted me. That says the key of A. Uh-huh. See? They're getting ready to get me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my from the waters lifted me down there.
love, let that be. Oh, his love, let that be. Me when nothing else could have his love left at me.
I was also told by Brother George in Africa to ask the church to remember him in prayer. And remember Sister Ardina. She's really low. She needs God to touch her. Just remember her. And God knows what he's doing with us.
Amen.
And he will see us through no matter what.
Amen.
Amen. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by his love.
Love left me.